The rains came down and the floods came up, but the house on the rock stood fast. I love that little song as a kid. We'd sing. So build your house on the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, what are you building your house on tonight? If you're not building it on Jesus, if it's not built on the Word of God, your foundation's going to be sinking sand, shifting sand. And you'll find yourself in a house that's coming down on you. When we first moved up to Springfield, Missouri, we all rented this one house, as we kind of, the Yorks rented it, I guess, and we kind of, as we moved up there from Midland, each family took their turns living with the Yorks. But one time, I know y'all, us, and Cindy, and Mom and Dad, was the Durhams in that house at the same time? Was Jerry and Sandra in there at that time? I don't remember. The Malone, I don't remember. But anyway, you could take a marble and put it on one end of the house and watch it roll all the way to the other end. It was out of level, so to say the least. And I think they ended up tearing that house down, didn't they? Built a whole new subdivision in there where that was at. But I was listening to a Christian radio station today, and I don't really listen to much of the preachers, but I like to listen to music. But they did ask this guy about this song he wrote, and he was talking about, he said, so many times that people want God, oh God, if you just save my marriage, if you just help me out of my financial difficulty, if you just heal my baby, if you do this, you do this for me, you know, I'd serve you, or I'd know you, you're real, or trying to make this bargain with God. And he said, God doesn't have, he's already proved his love to us. That's right. He died for us while we were yet sinners. Hallelujah. That we might be saved. He loved us while we were, even though he knew everything about me, he still loved me. That's hard to comprehend. Because people love with strings attached. There's a catch. But when you begin to get filled with the love of God in you, it starts to spill over as well. You start loving your neighbor. And that's the true sign of a believer. That's the fruit of the Spirit. Is it what you do motivated by love? Or is it some sort of other motivation? And if it's not motivated by love, then it is not of God and it's not of faith. We want to let our love spill over. That's why Jesus said the two greatest commandments that there are is love God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. That's what he's trying to instill in us. That's why, that's what Brother Souders, 60, 70, 80 years ago, that was the revelation he got. Charity. Oh, they would have threshing floors and discuss the Word of God and seek out truths and doctrine. But the doctrine is not what Brother Souders was seeking. He was seeking charity because that's the revelation that God gave him. If he could get a hold of charity, everything else would fall into place. These men would be discussing the Word of God. One would be a oneness brother. One would be a Trinitarian. One of them would get up and start preaching the one God message. He'd sit down and the other one would get up and preach three in one. While one was preaching, the other one was getting mad. While the other was preaching, the other one was getting mad. And he'd bring an apple. When one was preaching, he'd cut that apple in half and give it to one. When the other got preached, give it to the other one, the other half. Because he wanted them to show them there's something more important than your doctrine. That is love. All the others will pass away, it says in Corinthians. But the love of God lasteth forever. That's what he's wanting to put in us. His love. Everything I should be motivated for love. Not out of fear. I don't walk the way I walk. I don't dress the way I dress. I don't say the things I say. I should not be motivated out of fear. If I do, it'll cause me to sin. But if I do it because of love, because the love of God that he's put in my heart for him and my brothers and sisters, it'll cause me to walk upright. Cause me to before God and man. That's what the fear of the Lord is. The fear of the Lord is not so much... the fear of the Lord is not scared the Lord's going to do something to me when I do something. The fear of the Lord is I value my relationship with God in so much I don't want to do anything that would cut off that relationship from him. To cut off that spout. I fear that. I fear missing God. I fear him not being over my life. That is the fear of the Lord. You value that more than anything. Did you know you can't overcome something you secretly continue to desire to do? God's got to give you grace. You even have to ask him to take the desire away from you. I know many people, I can use this as an example. God delivered them from smoking cigarettes. And God took the desire away from them first. He completely took the desire away from them. That showed God's grace. They couldn't even do that on their own. There's some people got good willpower. They can set their mind to do something. They can do just anything they set their mind to. They can quit smoking. They can do anything. But a lot of people can't. That's a very addictive habit. I watched a deal the other day on this doctor talking about the nicotine, how addictive it was, and very hard thing to give up. And I had a cousin. I don't know why I bring this up. I had a cousin that got the Holy Ghost. Got saved and got filled with the Holy Ghost and put in the body. It was in the body of Christ 30 years ago. And I remember he used to dip snuff. He loved Copenhagen snuff. He just loved it. Well, I thought he gave it up. But he told me about 5 or 6 years ago that it was just a few years before that helped him get rid of that habit. He used to secretly go around dipping stuff for about 15, 20 years. But he told me it was hard. He said he just couldn't hardly get rid of that habit. Well, God's love. He can put it into your heart. He can take away your desires. If you got to have faith and believe. See, everybody wants to have faith and believe what God didn't say. But there's enough belief to what God said. He said, I will write my laws on their hearts. That's what God said. I've got to have faith to believe that. He could take away my desire to sin. He can give me a new heart. Hallelujah. Keep getting focused on the big pink-dotted elephant in the room. Pink polka-dotted elephant in the room. If I keep talking about pink polka-dotted elephant, here in a minute you're going to be visualizing this pink polka-dotted elephant. But I want to talk about God. I'll tell you about his saving grace. I remember as a child coming to... I wasn't used to this kind of church. Come and I remember... I'd get up and jump around and shout, speak in tongues, and I'd sit there. And I was wondering what was going on. My mom and dad, my dad grew up in Pentecost movement, going to brush arbors and tent meetings and all those things, and he grew up seeing that. But by the time we went to a Pentecost church, but they didn't move out. They didn't worship. But God had just fall, and people would come, you know, they'd come to the altar, or they just wouldn't worship, freely worship, dance before the Lord, and rock and raise their hands. I wasn't used to that. But there was something in my heart. I was like, now, I'm feeling something in this. These people, there's something they're doing here that's genuine. There's a love in their heart. And I'd hang around and I'd watch. And the next thing you know, one of the kids would grab me and said, "You want to go do it too?" I said, "Okay." So I'd kind of go down front with them and I'd raise my hands too. That's we allow. That's we encourage our children to worship with us. Well, a lot of times, some of the kids, our kids will strike out ahead of us all and get out in the aisles and worship. Some of them will get up and test. We don't have children's church and teenager church, and we're all the church. And Brother Smith's been encouraging our youth to participate. You're one of us. If the Lord could be dealing with one of our young people's hearts, one of our children's hearts, they could be dealing with, they could get up and testify, give a message from the Lord. So we encourage that. Because we don't need to separate young from old. That's why I've seen some churches, I think Brother Smith mentioned it, but I got a friend who goes to a church. They have a traditional service, which all the old people go to in their church, and they have a more modern, contemporary service, which all the younger people go to, and it's divided. The church, their own church, is divided. They've divided their own church, which, you know, that's what we love about here. We got people who sing bluegrass music in here. We got people who sing a little more old style Southern gospel. We get some that sing black gospel. We get some that sing a little contemporary, and it all blends. It all, you know. I got tickled at Brother Al and Sister Elsa. We used to have a piano player in our church that she used to get on my nerves all the time. And I found out that was their favorite piano player, their favorite song leader. And I thought about it, and I thought, well, everybody's different. Everybody's got a different style that they like, a different way of it that it touches them. What they really like, I might not like so much, and what I really like, they might not like so much. But you know what? I learned to like different styles. My mom and dad used to make me eat everything that was put in front of me when I was a kid, and you can tell. When I got older, I like everything. There isn't much that I don't like to eat. I was over at Brother and Sister Ratliff's, and he brought this stuff. I'd never ate it before. Braunschweiger. I'd never ate Braunschweiger before. So they gave me some. I thought, well, this is pretty good. But I said, what is this stuff? Is this stuff, I bet this stuff's just, you know, the stuff they get off the packing house floor, you know, and put in. That's what I thought. But I looked up Braunschweiger, and you can look it up too. It's one of the most healthiest things you eat. It's packed with protein. It's made mostly of liver. Another word for it's liverwurst. But I liked it. I bought some. I brought it home, and Nathan goes, "Oh, God, it's that stuff over there." But I learned to like variety in the natural food, you know. You can ask my wife. There's very little I do not like seven-layer salad. And there's a bunch of people here that like it. I can't stand that stuff. But that's about the only thing I could think of that I won't eat. Look, I've got y'all all talking about food now. You want to get somebody involved, get on Facebook and just start mentioning a restaurant or some kind of food. And boom, everybody's lining up behind you talking about their favorite thing. All you have to do is bring up food and get people interested. But in the kingdom of God, there's variety too. There's a variety of preachers. You ought to eat everything that's on your plate. When God spreads a table in a service, take a bite of everything. So Yeah, even if I didn't like, so they didn't maybe eat everything on the plate. My mom and dad didn't, but they made me at least try it. One bite. I said, "Oh, I don't eat that." You gotta used to have one bite, and I was lucky that my dad didn't like a few things that I didn't like, so mom never made them. But just about everything mom made, I liked. I mean, she made a variety. I mean, mom cooked Brussels sprouts, broccoli, cauliflower, chicken livers. What else? Asparagus. What else did mom make? No, she didn't make sauerkraut, but I like sauerkraut. Coleslaw, potato salad. She cooked a lot of traditional stuff, but she liked a lot of different vegetables and stuff. Mom and dad liked that stuff. The only thing, I didn't like peas for a long time, but I finally can eat peas. If that's all there is to eat, I'll eat peas. I'm not saying I'm a big fan of peas, but I can eat them. Well, God spreads a table. We come to a service. We don't have a program. If you notice, we walk in the door, we didn't hand you a program. The prayer starts here, and then the band. And we do have something. We do always start in a prayer. We do start with a band. But after that, it's anything goes. That when we hope, it goes according to the Lord's agenda. We don't have a program. I didn't know what I was going to say then. I didn't have a sermon lined out. Y'all would be in trouble if y'all depended on me to line up a sermon. I even sell that way. I don't, but Brother Tyrone, he's got it in his mind, okay, I think he deviates from it. When he does, he gets in trouble, and we all do. But if he, you know, we got, okay, we start here, we go here, we go here, we go here. Nah, I don't do that. I just go in and say, this is what we do. Got any questions? I start letting it come to me. I did find out Brother Tyrone's right. Usually if you deviate from the plan, don't go so well from you. But God, but when you rely on the Spirit of God in your service, you know, aren't you glad we're in a place that we're taught to watch the Spirit? Look, we got a little sign right here for the ministry. Watch the Spirit. Used to be we had a sign up there that said, watch the Spirit. And the sign for the ministry, it said, watch your spirit. Make sure it's not getting in the way. Yeah, we learn to watch the Spirit. Sometimes a piano player will take off, and it's not the direction the Lord wants to go. And they have to back up and say, okay, Lord, I got to feel out. What do you want to do here? Sometimes a minister will get up. He'll start thinking he wants to talk on something that, you know, that he was been thinking about for the last few days. And I'm gonna tell the people what I've been thinking about. And sometimes it is the Lord dealing with them. And sometimes it's just them. And they got to back up and say, all right, now listen, the Lord isn't in this. Let me try take off a different direction. Sometimes you just have to sit down. It isn't your turn. And then it's a great time when the Lord's agenda comes through and the people's hearts are touched and they go home lifted up for another day, because we're taking this one day at a time. I can't think about tomorrow, because sufficient is the evil thereof. Did I say that right? Unto the day. I can't think about the future. I don't even know what holds the future. Did you know there's, you know, I had jobs lined up. I just knew I was going to get. I had one job that the sales manager wanted me. The branch manager wanted me. It's all but a formality. You're hired. Six-figure potential. Salary plus commission. Our top salesman here is making six figures. Our lowest salesman's making about $60,000 a year. And I'm thinking, that's going to be the job for me. Had two jobs that way. And corporate said, you know, I don't think so. But we want this guy. This is our, you know, in our call, we want him. He's qualified. Oh, I don't think so. You know, we just need somebody more experienced in that field. He's not really worked that field that much. And I'm thinking, Lord, what's going on here? This would be a good job. But now I have learned in this short period of time that there's going to be great, something is could be better around the corner. And now I'm saying, Thy will be done, O Lord. Thy will be done. You know what I found out? I found out that God loves me more than anybody else in this world. He loves me better than my mama and my daddy. And I know my mom and daddy love me. He loves me better than my wife, and I know my wife loves me. And His motivation in my life is for what's best for me. Now, I'm not saying the Lord won't bless me. He is starting to bless me financially, and I'm thankful for that, but He may take me back through something else. And if He does, it isn't because He's a vengeful, hateful God and wants to smite me. It's because He loves me and He knows what's best for me. I believe that with all my heart. I didn't know. I asked God. I thought, Lord, if you know, I know my mom and dad, they lost everything they own one time. Am I going to have to go through that too? Is that something I have to go through? I hope not. But if I go through it, I know that I'll be better for it on the other side. I know I've known men and women who've lost their children, lost spouses, untimely deaths. God wasn't a vengeful, smiteful God on them. They were God's children, and they loved God. And whatever the reasons He had was for their good and only their good. We have to hold on to the Word of God and believe in faith. Apostle Paul said, all things work together for the good to them that love the Lord, who are called according to His purpose. All things. Not some things or a few things or many things. All things. We got to be like the people in the 11th chapter of Hebrews and believe that God said. And because God said and they believed and they stood without wavering, it was counted for them as righteousness. When we can believe God, we can trust God, then He can start doing things in our life, working on our behalf, putting His love down in our heart, where we won't defraud our brother. We won't even talk about our brother in a hateful way. All we do is uplift. And if we can't uplift, we don't say anything. That's His desire for us. He wants to lift us. He wants to completely get the spirit of the world out of us. The spirit of the world is selfishness. It's all about me. Everything. I got tickled the other day of someone, another pastor's son called me, or I called him, and he made a reference to something that happened on the VMA awards. And I said, I'm almost ashamed I even know who those people are I'm almost ashamed that I know who Kanye West is and Taylor Swift. I said, I've still got some of the world in me. Pop culture. I'm getting better. But I could tell you who anybody who was somebody in the world was. That's the spirit of the world. I've got to let the Lord take that out of me. I've got to resist the devil. That's the work I've got to do. You know what the grace of God is? He'll flee from you. I wrote that down one time, a kind of a balance of works and grace, and that was one of my wrote. Works, resist the devil, grace, he'll flee from you. And that was the balance of it. We got to ask the Lord, Lord, you know what? The spirit of this world will destroy you. Satan's like a roaming lion, roaming to and fro, seeking whom he may devour. That could be a religious spirit. It could be a world spirit, too. The world wants to do nothing but destroy, tear down, take down. Just, if you don't believe me, listen to talk radio. And one side's tearing down the other side, and the other side's tearing down the other side. And they just, then they say, well, we're going to debate so-and-so, and they just talk past each other. They ain't even listening. It ain't a debate. It's not even any kind of dialogue at all. I like being with my brothers and sisters who are willing to talk about the Lord. We see things different, but we're asking God to show us. You know, I've been doing that. I've been saying, God, we've got things going on amongst us right now with the differences of opinion on how it should be. I know how my minister believes it, and I sure don't want to work against my pastor. But I've got to know him for myself. Would you show me? Would you please show me? I really want to know about some of these things. And until then, I'm going to refrain from my agenda, my will, and my opinion. And I don't mind saying sometimes, well, then this is my opinion, but I've been telling people that lately, I really want the Lord to show me. I really wonder, and I even told God, Dave, if you reveal it to me through somebody else, that's fine. But I'll know if it's right because the Holy Ghost will jump upside down and do double back flips in me. Have you ever had that happen before? You get a revelation of something, and when you heard it, just something jumped in you and said, that's exactly right. I don't, you know, and you know, if you've got the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you know what that feeling is, that quickening is. That's why, was it James, or I believe it says, you have no mean to need a man teach you because you have an unctioning of the Holy One. You know, something just jumps up and leaps inside. It isn't up here, it's right here. It's the heart, the conversion of the heart. That's what the Lord is working on in our lives. Hallelujah. Well, I'm stirred up. It feels good up here. Got a good feeling. Some of you preachers can preach. There's a feeling up here. I wanted to welcome our guests. They're getting to where they're not being guests. Brother Fettner, am I saying it right, Fettner? Brother Rocky Johns and the Rocky Clan. We're glad y'all came. Hey, and they're a friendly bunch. So just make sure you make them feel at home. Shake their hand. Tell them they're glad they're here, and we'd love to have them come back. Be a part of us as much as they feel comfortable in doing so. I encourage y'all to do that. We have, we got some people who hadn't been here in a long time. We want to welcome Brother and Sister Golden. I know y'all have really had a tough time with your foot, and it hurts. And we've been praying for y'all, really have. And I text Brother Curtis the other day. I said, we miss you guys. I said, it seems like a month of Sunday since you've been here. But we are glad to hear he's up working and playing his horn. We've been missing that saxophone, and we're glad y'all are here. I know my grandmother is my mom wanted me to request prayer for her. She's sick. She's not feeling good at all, and she has been sick for a few days. So we really want to pray for my grandmother. And mom says she's not feeling very good either. I think. Zach told me that Brother Brett Weiniger's not feeling good, came home, said he wasn't feeling very good. So let's keep those prayers on your mind. Oh, yes, he sprained his ankle. don't know where he went. He disappeared. But we're going to pray for, him that he has a rapid recovery. Sometimes a sprain takes longer to heal than a break. And I know one time I rolled my ankle and just swelled up bigger. Okay. Brother Doug's here. And he looks so much better. Brother Brett said he went to the hospital. He said, I didn't hardly recognize him. And I think he'd been dehydrated real bad. And that they had his gallbladder removed. And he feels so much better. And he's thankful for all of our prayers, I know. And he's back on the saddle up here playing his guitar. And we missed him playing. Brother Nathan Painter, did you have your hand raised? Brother Tyrone. Okay. Sister Perry. Rachel got a job. Okay. They're the estate auction of her, Sister Sherry's parents. Remember Sister Elsie's family. What's that? Oh, Brother Smith, he's at the New York Ministers Conference in, I don't know if it's in Brooklyn or, it's in Brooklyn, I think. And I forgot it was this week. I called my mother today and I said, what's going on? How y'all doing? She goes, well, your dad landed safely in New York. I said, I didn't even know he's going to New York. What's going on? She goes, a minister's meeting. He always goes to that meeting. I said, well, for some reason, I didn't register in my mind that there was a meeting. So let's pray for his safety while he's there and have a good meeting. Okay. Sister Rice, Sister McGowan, sick. Children, Brother Sister Thompson's children. Okay, Sister Abraham. Okay, Sister Abraham's request. Brother Dodson. Okay. Well, we'll go ahead and receive the offering tonight. If the ushers will come. Let's stand and pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight, thanksgiving, Lord. We give you thanks for all you've done, for your love. You've loved us, oh God, when we're unlovable. Lord, we have so many needs. We're needy people. We have so many that are sick, Lord. We ask your healing hand and your spirit to go in and touch those who are sick. We just want to ask you, petition you, Lord, for that. No, we got the ones that are discouraged and out of church. Lord, we ask you to keep your hands on them and keep dealing with their heart, oh God. Touch each one, each need that was lifted up here today. Each one with an illness. Each one with a spiritual need. Each one with a financial need. We know, God, we know you love them more than we could ever love them, oh God. We ask you, Lord, in thanksgiving, oh God, Thank you and ask in the name of your son, Jesus. Oh, God, give you thanks. Bless each one that gives, Lord. And give us to the church and the missionary, mission field. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We give you thanks. You're great God. Hallelujah. Wonderful. Hallelujah. Mighty God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God, praise God. Thank you.
always want to take the opportunity to thank God one more time. And you know, we live in a great country, don't we? And not careful, we can take this for granted. May not have all this liberty and freedom we have in God. And, you know, there's some countries that they have to go underground, and you know, and but we're blessed to not have to do that. And so, since we're so blessed, I want to praise God and thank Him, and have a hope in Jesus that I never had before. And I appreciate God's people and everybody that has a zeal to or a desire to serve God. And that's what the Bible says. It said, they that come to God must first believe that He is, and He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him, didn't it? Well, that's not a one-time thing, is it? That's through your whole life, you know. And so, you know, our goal is to obtain the love for God and His people, isn't it? And like Brother Michael was talking about, you know, though we speak with the tongues of men and of angels, have not charity, become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. That doesn't mean that we shouldn't speak in tongues, but it you know, it means that our motive, isn't it? If, you know, we should do those things to, you know, for the love of God. You know, Paul said, "I speak in tongues more than you all." But he knew that without the love of God, that he was just another sounding brass. And though I understand all mysteries and have all knowledge, and have not charity, you know, I am nothing. Though I give my body to be burned, you know, and it goes on. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity aimeth not, vaunteth not itself, behaveth itself not unseemly. But knowing those things, that, you know, God, He's wasn't saying that understanding the Word of God, He wasn't saying that wasn't important. He was just saying that this should be directed by the spirit of charity. That's what we're trying to achieve. That's what we're trying to, we want to, you know, love God and His people. And if these things help us, if knowing the Word of God and doing these things, giving our body to be burned, helps us to obtain the love of God, to love God and His people, then it's not in vain, is it? But I appreciate having a place that we can come together to worship together, to raise up our hands and glorify God, knowing that, you know, He's given us this hope. And that's what the last verse in 1 Corinthians 13, "Now abideth faith, hope, and charity, but the greatest of these is charity." So I know that's kind of a nutshell message, isn't it? I know there's a lot between starting and the end, isn't it? thank God, and thank God for it all. I'm glad to be here.
Really glad to be here, and I want to thank all of you for praying for me. I I had a pretty bad fall Saturday, and I want to thank the Lord because I didn't break anything. And just I was a couple of days I couldn't hardly walk, especially Sunday. And so I really appreciate everybody here, your prayers, and you know, it draws me closer to God because, you know, He keeps His hands on us all the time. And I could have been a lot worse. I could have broken, you know, a leg, arm, or my hip. I fell on the hip that I had a hip replacement, and so I don't guess it bothered that. But I just really appreciate everybody praying for me in all these years, and I'm really thankful for the Lord, and I'm just really glad to be here.
One time long ago, while you mentioned that, Brother Smith, this came to my mind, and so I'm just being obedient to it. Anyway, I remember I made a deal with the Lord one time. A very long time ago, this is when Joe and Joshua was really small, and I was home with them, didn't have a job, you know, and reading my Bible, and just, I had a lot of questions that I was asking the Lord. And I remember I requested the most outlandish thing that you could ever imagine a person asking. I said, Lord, I said, if you're really real, I said, I want a picture of you. I said, now, I don't want a picture like somebody else's viewpoint or a painting or something like that. You know, because, I mean, I've seen all that. I took, you know, visual arts in college, and I've seen all those pictures and everything. And I said, I don't want anything like that. I said, I really do want an actual picture of you. And I said, and I'll never doubt you again, ever, not ever. Well, and I was laying on my bed. The boys were taking a nap, and I was just looking out the window and looking up at the clouds and everything when I asked this. But, you know, it's really amazing how you can pray something and you forget about it until months down the road, you know. And the boys woke up or something. I jumped up. I forgot all about that. And several months later, I was visiting my Aunt Dorothy, and I was about to leave, at the door leaving, and then she said, oh, wait a minute, I want to show you something. And so, anyway, I followed her over to her desk, and she pulled out this big yellow envelope, and there were some pictures in there, and she pulled them out, and she handed them to me, and I saw, and right away, it was a picture of the Lord. And it's like that prayer just instantly snapped in my mind. I said, oh God, this is my prayer, this is my picture, you know. And she's like, she said, oh my goodness, you know. I said, it's so incredible, Aunt Dorothy, but I prayed about this. And she said, oh well, you better keep that. There were three copies. She said, you better keep that one, you keep that one, okay. And I was like, you know, and it's just like forever and ever, I just stared at that picture. I was in so awe, you know. And you know, and then after the fact that it happened, I was just like, oh God, who am I to make such a request, you know? But she told me a story, how she managed to come by these pictures, is that I have like some distant cousin or something, you know, somebody I don't even know, never heard of until that time. But he had a position with in the military, Secret Service, and his job was like they would fly him over different places and they would drop him out of a plane, and he had all these high dollar photography equipment and everything. And so they were in a plane and they were on their way. I don't know if they were going or coming back, but anyway, they were in a plane, and he looked over in out the window, and standing at the edge of a cloud, he saw the Lord. And he just took that picture right away. Now, you know, and it's kind of like foggy, and I've showed it to people, and you know, people can be so good to, you know, try to make you doubt or whatever, you know. Try to make you doubt what you know happened. You know your prayers. You know how it happened. You know, nobody else knew but me, you know. And the way this picture came to be in my hands. And she told me that this cousin, when he got back to the United States, he was so at all over everything that when he came back to the United States, he gave his life to the Lord. And there were two other men on that trip or whatever with them, and they also give their lives to the Lord. But anyway, I still have that picture. I put it in a Ziploc baggie so no dust or nothing can get on it. It's probably one of the most important things that I own in this world, you know, because I can look at that picture at any time and it just immediately strengthens my faith. And you know, that's what he does things like that for, making deals, you know, accepting challenge. Well, nothing's challenging to God, but I mean, that's why he does things like that, is to increase our faith. And I told him, I said, Lord, if you just give me this picture, I'll never doubt you ever, ever. And I'm so thankful that I never have. But I appreciate the Lord and his goodness to us, helping us to grow, helping us to build our faith. You know, I mean, I've heard, you know, it's really incredible, because when, you know, people are just starting out serving the Lord, and you hear something like they got a $5 rebate check in the mail when they really needed that $5, you know. And I know that, you know, that's just building faith. And I mean, it's just like that one time when I had so many bills, I didn't know what to do. I was like, oh God, you know, can you get me out of debt? Can you do that? And lo and behold, two checks come in the mail, not just